Welcome to the Wahoo Central Podcast, which comes to you from the McHugh Center at the University of Virginia almost every week. We're back after a break for graduation. I'm Jeff White, Director of News Content for VirginiaSports.com. My guest today is Bowen Sargent, head coach of the UVA men's golf team. Bowen, welcome and congrats on what has been a great season for your guys so far.
Thank you, Jeff. Glad to be here.
Your team is headed to the NCAA championships, which for the men start next Friday, May 29th, in Bradenton, Florida. Before we talk about that tournament, though, let's revisit the NCAA regional outside of San Diego, where Virginia was one of 13 teams. You needed to finish in the top five of the regional to advance to the NCAA championships. I was following that on Game Tracker or the live scoring, and it was nerve-wracking. 1 minute you're in second place and you look comfortable. The next you're in sixth, then you're back in fifth, but hanging on by a thread. What's it like to be the coach on those final holes? It's kind of out of your hands, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a real helpless feeling because unlike other sports where you can call a timeout and bring the team in and have a huddle and kind of calm things down, in golf, there are no timeouts. So it's a real interesting sport to coach. But, you know, during that specific moment, you know, we were in second place 1 minute, and the next place we're on the bubble in fifth, and you know, every shot mattered.
Yep.
And luckily we came out two shots to the good and made it through. But it is nerve-wracking. It's, you know, you're really out of it is a helpless feeling as a coach because you can't coach five kids. They're spread out over five different holes, and you know, you're with one of them, and so you can have some impact there with one person, but you certainly can't with the other four.
Now, do you and your assistant coach Jay, do you guys just kind of rotate among the players who are out on the course, or do you get with one player and stick with them the whole round?
Usually we get with one player and stick with them the whole round. Usually it's the first or second year, just trying to kind of manage emotions and teach them how to manage their game, course management, situations like that. So, yeah, usually we're with one of the kids.
Five teams from six regionals, 30 teams in all, qualified for the NCAA tournament. Tell us about the format in Bradenton.
Well, it's a unique format. I mean, it's changed almost every year, and this year is no different. With this year's championship, there's 54 holes, and then they cut to 15 teams for the fourth round, and then the low nine individuals as well. And then you play one extra round, which gives you 72 holes of stroke play competition. And then at the end of the 72 holes, they cut to the low eight teams, and then they go into match play. So kind of a new format for us.
Why the changes in the formats? If coaches been unhappy or players or just trying to get it?
Yeah, well, this is the second year that the Golf Channel's been involved with the championship, so I think they've probably
TV always TV gets what it wants.
TV, yeah. So they've been trying to create ways for it to be a little more entertaining. I mean, as we all know, golf's boring, and so they've tried to create some scenarios where they have the cuts that are going to be televised, and then they get down to match play, and then that gets much easier for the public to kind of understand, you know, the match play portion where it's just one team versus one team, opposed to, you know, if you have 30 teams out there and you're playing the other 29, it gets really hard to cover.
What's the first day? You've been to the tournament a lot. Is the goal on the – I mean, ideally on the first day, I'm sure you'd love to – blow everyone away, but are you really trying to just kind of stay in the hunt and not let nerves get your guys the first day and shoot yourself out of it?
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, you know, it's a 3-day competition to survive the first cut, but you know, our goal is going to be to win. We met with Dr. Rotella last night, and he said, you know, that's the way you should think. That's the mentality that you should have going into the tournament. Teams that, you know, set the goal as the cut line, they'll play down to that goal.
Cut line, yeah.
So we're gonna go out there and give them our best and try to win.
If my research is correct, this is the fifth time in your 11 years as head coach that your team has advanced from the regional to the NCAA championships. How large a factor is the NCAA tournament, and whether you make it or not, when you go back and look at a year and judge it and determine if it's a success? Is the NCAA tournament in your sport as big a deal as it is in a lot of sports?
You know, it is, but I think when you try to take that into consideration for an entire year. I don't know how much it is. I don't think it's a true picture of an entire season, because ultimately regionals comes down to 3 days. And, you know, if you have one guy that falls asleep during those 3 days, you could miss. So you could have good teams and miss. I know this year of the top 30 teams, I think 18, the top 18 teams are ranked, but there are plenty of teams between 19 and 30 that missed.
Yeah, you watch the regionals and on the live scoring, they'll put the ranking of the team if a team is ranked. And I mean, in these regionals, men's and women's, you'll see unranked teams get hot for three days. And I'm kind of wondering, like, well, if that team's not ranked, how are they up there? But I guess a team can just get it going like that for a couple days.
Yeah, it's you know, it's really such a thin margin. I know it is in all sports, but, you know, when we make it by two shots is one swing.
Yep.
You know, a kid, you know, instead of hitting it to 3 feet, he hits it in a bunker and hits it to 20 feet and three putts. I mean, that's the difference between making it and missing it.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you're talking about less than 1%. I mean, we hit 800 and something shots. And,
you know,
it comes down to two.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, it's the tiniest of margins.
This is that strange time of year around grounds when spring classes are over, graduation has come and gone, yet there are still a few teams here competing, yours included. What kind of schedule do you and your players keep until you leave for Florida?
We're going to continue to practice as we have done all year. We're going to work 4 or 5 hours a day, just typical of what we've done throughout the season. But we're going to continue to practice and focus on the things that, you know, each kid needs to do to prepare and have their best mindset heading into the national championship.
Is everyone on your roster still in town practicing, or do you kind of cut it down to the guys who are competing at this point?
Yeah, we just cut it down to the guys that are competing, because there are summer tournaments already starting around.
So you want
the
other guys playing in those?
Yeah.
While we're on that subject, you take five guys or five players compete in the tournament, right? Do you take more than five? Do you take an alternate? Or
no, just kind of fortuitous. We have a kid that lives in Bradenton, so and he played for us most of the year as well. So, you know, if we ran into a situation where somebody gets sick or hurt or whatever, it would be easy to call him in.
The format, I think you take five guys to the tournament, then the top four scores count each round, right?
Each day, yes.
How difficult is it to pick your five-man squad? I know a couple guys are easy selections, but when you get down to four and five, is that tougher sometimes?
Yeah, usually the five man, there's always some kind of consternation between, you know, the five and the six man. It seems like throughout the entire year, no matter what team, no matter how good or bad you are, there always seems to be that kind of shuffling between two or three guys for that fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh spot.
I mean, do you do it strictly? Do you ever determine it by match player? Do you do it by average stroke, or is it just the coach's decision sometimes, like who you think will play better in that setting?
Usually we qualify for it. Now, this tournament here, we didn't. We're taking the same team that went to regionals because we advanced through. So, you know, a little bit of a reward for the guys that made it through regionals, and we didn't have anybody play poorly at regionals.
Right.
Had we had somebody play poorly, we'd have probably brought another guy into town to do some qualifying for the national championship.
I think the young man from Bradenton is Danny Walker, right?
Yeah,
and
yep.
he's a first year, and he shot a 64 at one tournament this year. Has had another 68, I think. So he's a talented guy. First years go through ups and downs. What's the toughest part in general for these players making the transition from high school and junior golf to Division One?
Good question. The biggest thing here really is just academics. You know, once you throw in the academic pressures along with trying to compete on a daily basis for spots on the team, time management, all of that's a huge component here at University of Virginia, because, you know, it is a demanding school. It's a tough school. And I think kids are shocked a little bit when they come in just from the academic standpoint, how much work they have to put in, and then how good the team is. You know, there's certainly a learning curve with most of the first years.
I mean, do you typically see guys their second year come back kind of more relaxed or
oh, yeah.
more acclimated? And,
yeah.
and do they sometimes make significant jumps as players?
Yeah, I think, you know, one, they've been here for a year. You know, they've played Birdwood, Farmington, Spring Creek, Keswick. So you get a kind of a leg up after a year. You know, you come in as a rookie, and you've never seen any of those golf courses, so it takes time to figure those right. courses out. So you have kind of a built-in advantage as a second, third, and fourth year.
At the ACC tournament last month, your team finished fourth, which was two places ahead of Virginia Tech, and that clinched the Commonwealth Clash for UVA. Were you guys even aware of that accomplishment?
You know, they weren't until the night before the final round, and Jim Daves made us aware of that. So,
no pressure or anything.
No pressure, yeah. Yeah, no pressure.
That was nice to get that. You have two seniors on the roster. One of them is Denny McCarthy, who finished sixth in the NCAA tournament last year and has established himself as one of the great players in program history. What's it been like coaching Denny for 4 years?
It's been awesome. I hate to see him go. I have real mixed emotions about that, but you know, that's what happens when you get to be a fourth year. It's time to move on. And but he, you know, great player. Hopefully he goes on to play the Walker Cup this summer, and then he'll turn pro. And I think he has a great future ahead of him. He's very, very talented, has a very explosive game, makes a lot of birdies. I think you'll see him on TV here in the near future.
He played well out in San Diego last week, didn't he?
He did,
and,
yes.
Typically, has there been a carryover from how a guy plays in regional like that to the final NCAAs?
Well, Denny, if you look at him historically, he's always played really well starting in mid-April. He's always kind of struggled in early February and March. And he's starting with the ACC tournament every single year. He's played well in the postseason. I don't think this coming week will be any different.
Your assistant coach, your full-time assistant, is Jay Calvo, who was an excellent player at Liberty. Did you coach against him back when he was playing for the Flames? And do you know him from that? Or
I'm sure I did, but I don't remember it. To be honest, I don't think we played with Liberty a whole lot during that stretch.
Right.
But I know he was a good player, still is. We've been playing some with the guys here recently since the team, half the team's gone home. So we've been playing. I think he's surprised a few of the guys on the team.
Your volunteer assistant, someone you mentioned earlier, is the world-renowned sports psychologist Bob Rotella. That's an asset most teams do not have. What is Dr. Rotella's role in the program, you know, and how often do the guys interact with him?
Well, they use him quite a bit, especially individually. We went over to his house last night as a team, but individually is where he does most of his best work. You know, he's always available. He's probably one of the best people I've ever met in my life. He's just so genuine, so nice, so kind with his time. I have no doubt that we wouldn't be where we are today without Dr. Rotella. He's awesome, and he's so willing to help the guys and help them get through certain hurdles as they play in the game. And every golfer has them, and we're no different.
Like me, you're one of the lucky few with an office in University Hall. Your next-door neighbor is Kim Llewellyn, head coach of the women's golf team, and they're in Bradenton today for the NCAAs, starting today, I think, or tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yeah.
Are the two teams close, and do you and Kim compare notes sometimes?
Yeah, the teams are very close, especially you know, the guys.
Do you practice out there?
Yeah, we practice a lot together. I think several of them are really good friends, and Kim and I, we put our heads together at times and talk about, especially you know, a week like this where the national championship, we're both playing in the same venue, we try to pick each other's brains.
Kim was my guest on this podcast a few weeks back, and she talked a little bit about the facility upgrades that are in the works at Birdwood, which is the home course for both UVA teams. For people who missed that, can you kind of go over what those will consist of, and what will those improvements ultimately mean for your program, do you think?
Well, for us, it's going to be huge because we are kind of considered a northern program for golf. So we don't have an indoor facility at this point, something that's hindered us a little bit in recruiting. I think once we get this facility, it'll certainly kind of answer that question for a lot of recruits. Within the building, it's going to have 8 heated bays where you can hit indoor to out. It's going to have coaches' offices for all 4 coaches. It's going to have a club repair.
So you're leaving University Hall?
Sadly.
Well, I will miss you.
Well, you can come on over. We may have some extra room for you there. But no, it's going to have a little bit of everything, a place to study, men's and women's locker rooms. It's going to be a tremendous facility.
You were a professional golfer for 9 years. Now you're one of the top amateurs in the Charlottesville area. I know you still compete. How does one go about regaining amateur status after you've been a pro?
Well, you just file with the USGA. You file with the USGA, and they basically hand you down a penalty. They give you, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years. 3 years being the maximum. Yeah, where you just can't compete in anything. I mean, not even like a church scramble. So I was given a 3-year penalty. I kind of sat out and was on the sidelines there for 3 years and then got my amateur status back.
So your competitive window is really just in the summer, right?
It is, yeah.
So you get after it pretty hard or try to?
I try. You know, I don't have enough time to play like I want to play and practice like I want to practice to be. I wish I could, because I feel like I could win state, you know, amateurs and things like that. You know, I've been fortunate enough to make the USAM 2 of the last 4 years, right, which has been awesome to go play with all the young guys on great venues. And so that's been a really cool experience.
All right. One final question. Among the people in the UVA athletic department who are not affiliated with the golf teams, who's the best golfer here?
Well, I've never played with him, but I hear Tony Bennett's pretty solid.
I thought that might be the pick.
Barry Parkhill gets a lot of work on his game, so he might get the nod
there.
Is
he pretty good?
Yeah, he's pretty. I've played with him 4 or 5 times. He can play.
Good.
Which is no surprise.
No, it's not. Bowen, thanks again for stopping by. Best of luck in Florida next week.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it.
For UVA Athletics, the 2014-15 school year is about over, but several teams are still competing, including men's and women's golf, baseball, track and field, rowing, and individuals in men's and women's tennis. I'll be back soon, hopefully next week, with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, remember to check VirginiaSports.com for updates on all 25 of our teams. And thanks for listening.